Community radio station. Give us a call and help us out for our spring membership drive, 877-500-5266. Coming up this morning, we've got Flashpoints at 10:15. Then at 11, join us for an hour-long Between the Covers. Pamela Santos welcomes Portland author Jenny Forrester and her memoir, Narrow River, Wide Sky, about her coming of age in rural America while navigating feelings of isolation, abuse, sexual assault, and a failed college attempt to forge a separate identity. That is all coming up this morning. Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, though, right after this on The Boo.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to host Chris Hedges, Friday, May 26th at 7 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater in Portland. Hedges takes a provocative look at the current state of revolt in the United States and will recount the U.S.'s continuing history of domestic terrorism while outlining ways for communities to resist before it's too late. Again, that's Chris Hedges, Friday, May 26th at 7 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater, 3017 Southeast Milwaukee Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, May 18th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, and your whistleblower radio. We are continuing this theme today, the importance of whistleblowers in this particular era. The Obama era was hard on whistleblowers. We may have a kind of a hazy, rose-colored vision of the presidency of Barack Obama now that we're into something that doesn't resemble a presidency, an incompetent president that has no notion of, has nothing but contempt for governance. But Obama's administration, that was a hard eight for whistleblowers. And no one knows it better than, of course, Thomas Drake, Nathan Fuller, all of those who we've reported on in the past, people who were highly, highly skilled, absolutely loyal members of the security, the national security complex, and just doing their jobs, actually. Pointing out problems with some software in some cases, problems in various other areas, and were punished for their revelations. We have closer to home Walter Timosidis, who was paid to locate problems in up at Hanford, did his job and was fired in a most abrupt and abrupt and it would seem in a punishing way. It made no sense at the time. But now he sees America trudges ever onward into the Trump waters, so to speak. That for whistleblowers, it's a very dangerous world out there. We're going to be speaking shortly with Nathan Fuller. Today's weather and for tomorrow, on into tomorrow, today we've got partly sunny skies, a high near 70. Tonight, partly overcast, lows around 47. Tomorrow, temperatures climbing ever higher, 76, and mostly clear with a lower around 46. So, we on the subject of whistleblowers and what their role is now. There's a lot of talk about what is a leak actually, and who gets to be a leaker, who gets to do that and not go to jail. Depends on your angle of refraction, I suppose. Talking about this, it makes it a safer world for people who do have courage to be whistleblowers. This week, of course, whistleblower extraordinaire Chelsea Manning was released from prison. And that in itself is a huge accomplishment on the part of the resistance. And keeping up the pressure does have payoffs from time to time. Yesterday we had John Kiriakou on the program, an extraordinary, extraordinary human being, whose writings, the letters from Loretto, kept people informed of what went on behind bars. He did that. He took huge risks, he himself being behind bars at the time that he was actually reporting. And the retribution that he saw was bizarre, cruel, and illegal. And the only thing that that saved John Kiriakou was his CIA training, which he employed to a maximum possible benefit for himself. There was that, and also the fact that the prison industrial complex is incompetent itself, and is aware of one thing, one thing only, that there are certain lines that you don't cross or you yourself go to jail. So these two factors combined to stymie those who were in a position to harm John Kiriakou. That said, and moving right along, it is becoming harder and harder to be a whistleblower. There are a couple of other things. There's a wee bit of stuff left over from yesterday that we want to make note of. There is an organization, the Whistleblowers Public Education Campaign. People everywhere need to hear John Kiriakou, Thomas Drake, Nathan Fuller. And Nathan Fuller is right here with us now on the line. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning. Happy to be on. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. So it was bad enough during the Obama presidency, and now here we are. It's very difficult to call these days a presidency. Bears no resemblance to a presidency. We have a completely incompetent president who has not made the appointments that he needs to fill critical positions in the government. So essentially, we have no government. We are in free fall right now. And at this time, many revelations are coming out of where Trump's allegiances actually lie. I want to ask you about whistleblowing now, and how has the role of the whistleblower changed? You'd think it would be shooting fish in a barrel out there, but it isn't really.
Well, it's not yet, it's definitely something to prepare for. So I work for Courage at couragefound.org, and so what we do is we support whistleblowers and journalistic sources, but one thing we do is also plan ahead for the next whistleblower. We always have the mindset that the next Snowden is coming, that Snowden did not have adequate protections beforehand. That's why it was kind of a scramble to get him, you know, to Hong Kong and on to Moscow, where he was hoping to keep going. We want to have preparations like that in place so that people feel comfortable blowing the whistle, especially under this administration. As you're saying, I only expect more leaks to come and more whistleblowers, and from Trump, even more whistleblower prosecutions. So it's really important that we are organized ahead of time and expect whistleblowers to come forward and to need our help. So I think that's important work that's worth doing ahead of time.
Do you think that we had this appointment, Robert Mueller, to fill Comey's position? Two questions for you. Robert Mueller, how will he change the environment in which whistleblowers find themselves? And let me hold that one back and we'll get to it in just a minute. How does Mueller change things, or does he, in fact?
Well, so as I understand it, Mueller is just appointed as the counsel on this Russia investigation. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's unclear how long that position will last as far as the investigation and what he'll do beyond that. But basically, all of Trump's appointments are mostly, you know, what we expect as far as aggressive and wanting a crackdown on leaks until they're burned by the Trump administration. So it's hard to tell at this point.
Trump has been very, very clear that he would like to see journalists jailed. That if he's willing to go that far, I'm pretty sure that he's not going to be friendly to anyone who is a whistleblower.
Right. We saw in recent information that came out about his conversations with James Comey that he actually pressed him to try to prosecute journalists, and he has said that that the media are the enemy of the people, and he's leaving it up to Jeff Sessions, head of the DOJ. He's leaving it up to the Attorney General to prosecute WikiLeaks and Julian Assange, and we're seeing reports from CNN and Washington Post that charges have already been drawn up against Julian Assange for a move that even the Obama administration, which prosecuted more whistleblowers than anyone in history with the Espionage Act, did not take. So they're ramping it up another level that we feared was going to happen for a long time. So it's got to be really worrying for these journalists, and they need support.
We were, and of course, self-censorship is difficult to assess the degree to which that self-censorship is in fact coming to play. I wanted to ask you one final question, actually, about James Comey. What else? He's going to come out with a lot. He has a lot more to say. His silence, of course, ups the ante. When Comey eventually does testify before Congress, as we expect him to do, how does it change things for whistleblowers? Will this open a gateway and make it perhaps temporarily safer? We're all waiting out in, you know, I suppose you call it the media community, and definitely listeners out there in the listener community, waiting for the other shoe to drop. Who else is going to come forward? Are you aware of any others who might be ready and willing to come forward as whistleblowers?
I know. I'm not aware, but if I was, I wouldn't want to talk about them.
Right.
We'd want them to be quiet and safe as possible before they come forward. But no, I think your comment about the self-censorship is really interesting, and that that's one of the more insidious and less discussed, because it's less tangible, aspects of all of this is the chilling effect and how pervasive that is. I think we see a mix of aggressive prosecutions, but also people are inclined to blow the whistle on and publicize some of these horrible and private things that Trump is saying and doing. So I think a lot of people must feel conflicted and wondering, you know, when is the right time to come forward with something, and how safe are they going to be doing
it? Yeah. Nathan, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, and also a little bit alarming at the same time. We're in the middle of our membership drive right now, so I need to thank you so much for joining us, and we'd like to have you back again to talk about this a bit more. And thank you. I would like to talk more also. Listeners need to know that there is a Whistleblowers Public Education campaign that you might want to look into. There's something that John Kiriakou is very much involved in. We're going to go now to our to membership drive. First, though, I do want to thank, of course, Rock Bergeron, who edited the show for us today, Derek Crooks, our AM News and Public Affairs Director. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Hello, membership room. Hi, Lynn. Hi, everyone.
Oh, hi, Chris. This is Ken.
Hi, Ken.
Lynn's here, too.
Hi, Ken.
We're asking you to call in at 877-500 5266 to listen to public affairs shows just like Chris Andre's and Teresa Mitchell's right before that with Press Watch. Joanne Hardesty was on a little earlier. At 11 o'clock, we have Between the Covers. So quite a wonderful block of programming almost every weekday morning, especially on Thursdays.
Excuse me, Ken, do you mind for just a minute? I just want to give that number out. That toll-free number is 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. I hear so much activity in the background.
It's
I
great.
So
and
many
KBLO.fm is also, if you want to go online and do it,
and you
if you're
can
at
have
your cubicle.
Have a look at the fantastic gifts that we have. There's all kinds of, there's books, there's tickets, there's lots of tickets, there's CDs. There's many, many ways that we have to thank you. But the best way that we could possibly thank you is to keep on doing what we are doing and not succumb to self-censorship. Do I sound self-censored? Many people wish I were.
Oh, no, Chris. No, not at all. 877-500-5266. And Chris, you know, this morning we were saying one of the things we're hoping people will do, we'll get a gift membership for Andrew McCabe, the acting FBI director. We think he needs one very much.
Absolutely.
And Mayor Ted Wheeler.
Well, yes, of course. And you know, really, and in this good old James Comey, you may need reading material.
That's right. Now
in Loretto.
There you go. 877-500-5266. It's the most important time we have. It's always been important for KBOO to be here, but right now, in the middle of this, what would you call it, Chris? What? Give one word
it's
about
a coup.
What you call it. It's been a coup. Yes, it's a right-wing coup. Very important to be able to speak truth to power, and that's all about what we're about.
Right-wing, I don't even think it's right-wing. I think it's militarized. I think the military is getting up for to support this coup attempt, and I do believe that it may not even be partisan in nature. It may